Lord and be blessed with it. Amen. You know, you've heard introductions of speakers. I usually try to make mention of where they've been, what they've done, and so on. And just for fun, listen to this. He's preached from Massachusetts to California, from Alabama to Alaska. He's had 52 years of ministry. He served as a presbyter, as a youth president, as a Sunday school director, as district secretary, and executive presbyter. Put your hands together and welcome Pastor Glover. Oh, boy. Well, I want to turn to, and you don't have to stand. It's a lengthy reading, and I'll comment as we go along. 2 Kings chapter 6. The experiences and events of Elisha are pretty extensive. My goodness. He had an amazing ministry, and this is one of them that has to do with chopping wood, something we're going to be doing and have been doing. And as we look out here in our landscape around the building, there's still a lot more to do because of the beetle kill problem that we've had over the years. So we'll begin with verse 1, 2 Kings chapter 6. The sons of the prophet said unto Elisha, Behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us. And that's an odd way of saying it's too small. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, Go ye. You know, go ahead. Good idea. And one said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So they want Elisha along with them, whether it was more manpower or prayer power or whatever it was. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, Alas, master, for it was borrowed. So now there's two losses. He lost the one he borrowed, and he's going to have to replace it. And the man of God said, Where fell it? And he showed him. Now, this is the Jordan River, right? He showed him the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Now, I think it floated. I don't think it was. Little arms, little legs kicking away and paddling. I think it floated. Therefore said he, Take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it. I wonder, you know, he waded in the water a little bit, probably. I don't think it swam to the shore. I wonder if he felt, is it going to be lighter? Is it going to weigh like an axe head weighs? Have you ever picked up volcanic rock floating in the water? Pumice? It does float. It's weird. You can see over at Brooks by King Salmon, the lake there, and then you've seen pictures of brown bears by the falls, and the reason all the pictures look the same is that all the photographers go there and take pictures of those brown bears that are standing on the falls, and the salmon jump almost right into their mouth. That's what they do. Actually, it works that way. But when we dock the boat or beach the boat, here are these rocks as big as volleyballs floating in the surf up against the shore. They're pumice, the volcanic rock. And so for this iron axe head to float like that, was pretty amazing. It was lost, but now it's found. You know, the things we lose, losing keys, losing credit cards, losing a checkbook, losing our phone. Oh, my goodness. What a hassle. But we can identify with this a little bit. I've lost things overboard. My uncle one time was leaning over the side and his glasses fell off. And it was about 20 feet of water and I thought maybe I could dive down and get him, but I'm glad I didn't try because it could have ended in a disaster. But things that are lost. Do you remember Little Bo Beep, the nursery rhyme? I heard a parody one time. A man was using that nursery rhyme and saying it in a preacher's voice. I don't think he was making fun of preachers. I think he was just having fun with that nursery rhyme. And Little Bo Beep has lost her sheep. They're lost, right? And the nursery rhyme goes on and says, and can't tell where to find them. And the parody, he asks, isn't that the definition of lost? Leave them alone. Well, what else are you going to do? They're lost. They're gone. They're nowhere in sight. You got to leave them alone. And they'll come home wagging their tails behind them. Where else are they going to wag them? You know, and that parody went on a little. It's pretty funny. But the lost sheep. Some things in the scripture are not funny. In fact, most things in the scripture are pretty sad when we talk about lost. Esau. Bitter tears, he cried, because he gave away his birthright. He sought it bitterly, the writer to the Hebrews says. He repented. He cried. But there was no gaining what he lost for a single meal. That's what is so unfortunate. For a bowl of beans, he lost his birthright and everything that it entailed. And Hebrews 12:17, he found no opportunity to repay or by repentance get back what he had lost. This is the Amplified. What he had done, no chance to recall the choice he had made, although he sought it carefully with bitter tears. And very sincere, very much aware of the loss, but no opportunity to recall, to change it. That's a sad, sad situation. And I think about Rehoboam also, who very, I don't know if it was casual, when the enemy came and took the gold shields that Solomon had put up in the palace. My goodness, they were large and they were small. He took off with all of them. What did Rehoboam do? He replaced them with bronze, which the value is quite a bit less. You know, as far as a shield, I suppose it would be more effective. But I don't know if he was casual about it. I don't know if he regretted it or what. But the sad thing is he was helpless in being able to maintain what could have happened or what could have been. And so the man with the axe in the text, cutting down trees for beams, they realized the place where they were meeting was too small, and thank God growth is God's way. God wants things to grow, not shrink. God wants things to increase. That's his plan. That's his kingdom. And they said, let's go to the Jordan. Well, obviously a source of water. and probably, well, they needed beams, so there must have been a lot of trees around there. But I kind of wonder if they remember the miracle of the Jordan drying up and Elisha walking across it after he hit it with the mantle that Elisha dropped as he was going up in the chariots of fire. And I wonder if maybe in the back of their minds or hearts they're thinking, maybe there's going to be a divine intervention and we won't have to build it. It'll already be there. But maybe they went with the idea, okay, we've got to work at it. And so divine power is going to assist our human power, and we're going to get it done. Do you know what an atlatl is? An atlatl? It's a device, a stick, that you put a spear on, and you use the leverage to cast the spear farther than if you just had the spear in your hand. And as kids, we used to get the, in Tlingit, it's Yana 8, wild celery. You know, the thing that grows and it's got kind of a flat top with all of the blossoms on top. It's hollow, and there are sections. And when it dries out, when it becomes wood, we'd break it off, and we'd drop the stone in one of the sections and kind of use it as an atlatl, and the rock would really go sailing, really go flying. And we'd play around with that. The axe head probably took off like it would have been on an atlatl. And out into the Jordan. So and we're not talking about, you know, from here to the drum set, and he could go out and feel around for where it was. That's why he cried out for Elisha to do something, because it probably really went sailing out there. Good thing it didn't hit somebody. It might have been serious injury. But they got the axe head back and kept on working. Imagine trying to work without it. That wouldn't have made sense at all. When you lose some things, you just got to make sure you get it back. There's no sense in going on without it. And that's what happened here with them having to do the work. Now, remember, Elisha, when he was called by Elijah, what was he doing? Plowing with 12 oxen. He would obviously working them in pairs. I don't think he had six pairs out there ahead of the plow. I think he was working so hard and the oxen pulling the plow so long that he had to trade off oxen, you know, probably in the morning and then in the evening, and then work the pairs in a rotation so that he wouldn't wear them out. But he was a worker. He wasn't sitting around twiddling his thumbs. And so he expected those young men of the school of the prophets to be workers as well. And that's why he said, take it up. You know, and don't just put it on a shelf. Don't put it on display. Put it back on your handle and get busy. And so that's the aspect there of you know, the necessity of keep going. And you know, Elisha cutting a stick and throwing it in the water about where the axe head went under, and then here comes that axe head up to the surface. Man, that is just amazing. You stop and think about it and how it all took place. How it all happened. The iron did swim. And so the work was able to continue. I wonder, the young man putting it back on the handle and slamming the handle down on a rock, you know, make the axe head seat onto the handle a little bit more and then continuing on with the work. I wonder if he stopped to look at it every now and then. I wonder if he went over to his fellow workers and said, did you see that? It floated. Feel it. It's still heavy. It couldn't have floated. It should have stayed on the bottom. But he threw a stick in, you know. I know, I saw it. And they're talking back and forth. It must have been pretty amazing. And I think probably the young man didn't have any funds to replace it. Well, he didn't. That's why he cried out for help. But I wonder if he was thinking, how can I get some money to buy this thing? I want to keep it. I want it to be a souvenir. I want it to be a reminder of what happened here, how God made it float, and how I was able to pick it up. And then no doubt it became a testimony for many, many opportunities to share what God has done. Thank God that we have experiences, probably not that graphic, but we've got experiences where the Lord showed up for us. Amen. And I hope we're diligent in telling others about it. Praise God. And how that the Lord ministered, how the Lord provided. And it's a responsibility that we don't lose the opportunities to share. We don't lose the testimony that we have in thinking, I don't have any miracles. I don't have any. Yes, you do. Oh, yes, you do. Amen. God filling you with the Holy Ghost is a miracle. Being baptized in the name above every name is a miracle. Praise God. The Lord grafting you in is a miracle. Praise God. And thank the Lord we can tell everybody we meet. Just like that young man must have said, see this axe? You think it can float? and then going on to tell about it. Well, remember Luke 19 and 10. The Lord said that he has come to seek and to save the lost. And that was his whole purpose. That was his whole mission. He said, I'm here to seek the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then he sent the 12 out to do the same thing. You go to the lost sheep of Israel. You don't go to the Gentiles' villages. No, he wasn't excluding them, but he wanted them to go to the house of Israel first. He wasn't going to leave out the Gentiles. Thank God he didn't leave us out. But he wanted them to see that there would be some who accepted, but the majority rejected. And that's why the Lord turned to the Gentiles. Amen. And thank God that he did. The Syrophoenician woman whose daughter needed to be delivered, needed to be healed. The story is told in Matthew 15 and in Mark 7. She cried out to Jesus to heal, but Jesus didn't even answer her one word. Ignored her. Walked on by. Didn't turn around to see what she was crying out about. That's pretty callous. Most people would be offended. Most people would feel like, okay, I'm not going to humble myself anymore. And when in reality, that's what prayer is. We're humbling ourselves and saying, God, I need you. I need you. The disciples had words. They didn't lack for something to say. They said, shut her up. Tell her to go away. She's bothering us. But when the Lord did say something, it was almost a reproof, almost a rebuke. I'm sent to the lost house of Israel. Lost house of Israel. But she worshiped the Lord. Didn't stop her, didn't hold her back. Didn't turn her away. She just worshiped him. And she called him Lord. She called him Lord three times. She was not going to quit. She was not going to stop. She was not going to turn away. And the Lord said, "Great is thy faith." Quite a compliment, especially a woman who is not a Hebrew. She's a Canaanite. And when he said, "Great is thy faith," her daughter was healed from that very hour. Praise God. You just have to hang on. And just keep trusting, keep believing, keep worshiping. Praise God. I know it's discouraging. I know it's difficult. I know we get frustrated. But how important, like this woman, to continue to call him Lord, continue to believe, continue to pray, continue to request, and then see the results. Three examples in Luke 15. The lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. And the first two examples was keep searching. Keep looking. Keep turning the place upside down. Keep trying to find it. The third example, the lost son, keep praying. Keep looking out the window, out the door. Keep expecting that return. Praise God. And I'm thankful for the outcome of all three examples. There was rejoicing. In fact, there's rejoicing in heaven, the scripture says. Praise God. And thank the Lord for that. Because there can be positive outcomes. There can be that return. Now, Matthew 5 and 13. This is the Lord teaching about salt. How many like salt? Oh, yeah. We like to add salt. You know, the rural areas not having opportunity for fresh things, if they do, it costs a lot because of the freight, fresh meat, fresh vegetables, and so on. So they rely upon canned stuff. And I rarely had fresh vegetables growing up. When I married my wife, it was amazing to have frozen vegetables because we always just had it out of a can. Canned beans, canned green beans, canned peas, canned corn. Everything's canned because it just stores that way better. Canned soup. But you know what's in canned soup? Sodium, lots of it. And so, a lot of the villages north and west, and mainly native villages, there's heart trouble because of the high volume of salt and or extended period of salt. Not necessarily a high volume, but extended. And we know salt has a purpose. So the Lord says here, Matthew 5:13, "Ye are the salt of the earth." But if the salt loses its saltiness, that's the NIV, how can it be made salty again? I guess you can't. It's lost it. It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled. So don't lose your saltiness. Don't lose your savor. Don't let it become a nothing. But hold on to that saltiness. What do we mean? What do we mean, hold on to your saltiness? Don't lose your savor, your ability to flavor. What we mean is don't lose your influence. Your influence for good. There's a lot of influence for evil, my goodness. Getting worse and worse. But your influence for good. Your influence for the Lord. Your influence for truth. Don't lose it. Amen. Hold on to what the Lord has instilled in you, and use that influence that God has put within your life. And you're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. Both of those are extreme influence. And light, a city that's set on a hill can't be hid. That's for a vast population. Salt, probably more one-on-one individual. So both are very important. And you're a light that's not to be under a bushel, under a cover. That's not to be your purpose. You're to be an influence. Now, look at 2 Corinthians 4 and 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And that's a disaster. That's a major problem. And that's what the enemy is trying to do. He's trying to blind the minds of them that believe not. He's trying to keep from them from seeing the light. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, if we continue on down that passage, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So that combination of Christ in you, the hope of glory, is, again, influence. Influence for the gospel, for the work of the Lord. And thank God the gospel is good news. Amen. Death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord. And we know that death, burial, and resurrection is repentance, baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, and receiving the Spirit of the Lord. And we thank God for the power of the Lord. But consider now, how is it hid? If our gospel be hid, how does that happen? Again, the situation that is made clear here, the devil blinds the minds of those who believe not. They're not going to see. They're going to be blinded. They're not going to be made aware, and they don't care because they don't see it. They don't see the truth of God in Christ Jesus, the image of God, and all of the rest of what that passage says. But we've got to be on guard that we don't hide the gospel from the lost. If we lose our priorities, if we lose our place, and there are other things that become more important than our walk with God, your light's going to dim. Your life gets too cluttered with stuff, then that light is going to dim as well. You know, the devil may not make you sin, but he can make you too busy. And you're just getting caught up in a whole bunch of other things. So make sure you're taking steps that would bring the gospel to light and not be hid. For if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. And they have no other way of finding truth. There is no other way. If an angel from heaven comes and says, "Here's the way," cursed. And so, obviously, we've got to follow through on where we need to be. Luke 21 and 34. Here's the Lord saying, "Take heed to yourselves." And boy, we're living in a time where we've got to follow through on this diligently. Luke 21:34. "Take heed to yourself." This is the New King James. lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly, that you're not ready. And the world and the devil and the flesh is definitely trying to weigh you down with these aspects that would draw your attention away from the things of God. And it draws your attention away from the things of God, then obviously your testimony is not going to be effective, even if you took the time to testify. And people would be asking why. We remember where we came from, not because we have a desire to go back, but because we have a thankfulness that we're not there anymore. The Lord delivered us. The Lord redeemed us. The Lord saved us. The Lord forgave us. And 2 Peter 1 and 9 gives the danger of not being able to see. And this is a spiritual sight in 2 Peter 1 and 9. This is the divine addition that's so important. Add to your faith and all of those virtues that he says, he that lacks these things. He didn't take the time to add. He wasn't diligent to make sure that all of these aspects get added to them. But you lack these things, blindness. Can't see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. So we look back with a thankfulness that we're not in that mess anymore. We're not living that life anymore. We have a hope. We have blessing. We have strength. We have goodness. You know, all the things that the Lord blesses us with. And 2 Peter chapter 1 begins with how he has blessed us with all things that pertain to godliness and life. Wow, that's quite a blessing. So don't let yourself become blinded in this aspect where things are hidden. And because hidden can be basically the same thing as lost. And the purpose makes a difference. We serve the Lord, we share in his kingdom, and we testify of his goodness, and we're continuing on. Ephesus had some amazing things. The Ephesian church had some incredible things happen in their midst, and the powerful explosion of evangelism that was there. But the Spirit said, I have something against you. And I think if the Spirit tells us that, we better pay attention. We better be aware of who's speaking and what is being said. I have somewhat against you. You've left your first love. Wow. That's losing something that shouldn't be lost. And it's going to affect not only where we are, but how our outreach is affected. And it's not being as purposeful, not being as powerful, not being as directed to seek and to save the lost. And very problematic, very much a difficulty of where we are. Can you imagine being appointed an ambassador? Where would you like to be an ambassador? Any country in the world you would choose? Brother Alex would choose Colombia. Can you imagine being rich and having influence in your home country? That would be incredible, huh? Or you'd want to choose somewhere different. And didn't matter if you didn't know the language, didn't matter if you didn't know the custom. Well, you're supposed to try to learn the language and become acquainted with the customs and the culture and all of that sort of thing. That's what you're an ambassador for. But the Lord has called us to be ambassadors. And the purpose of being an ambassador, according to 2 Corinthians 5 in the last portion of that chapter, is to reconcile. He's given us the word of reconciliation. He's given us the ministry of reconciliation. So it's not enough just to say, you need to know the Lord. You need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, there's got to be more that causes them to hunger and thirst and want to know more. And oftentimes they'll be skeptical. I can remember standing here, my wife and I, this is when we had Sunday night services, standing here until midnight talking to people who had questions about this truth and wondering why where they were from was not adequate. And we had to explain over and over, it's what the Bible says that we've got to adhere to. Yeah, but our church, you know. And so that's being an ambassador. And, look at 2 Corinthians 5:11. This is even more of an imperative, more of an incentive for us to understand that we don't lose this influence. The word and ministry of reconciliation is powerful. Being an ambassador for Christ is amazing. But look at verse 11. Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. There's judgment too. All of the goodness of God, all of the blessings, all of the power, all of the wonder, all the miracles, all of those aspects may not influence somebody. And the judgment may be what shakes them up. Now, I would not rejoice over that judgment. I would not be hopping and skipping and gleeful about you're going to knock the bottom out of hell, bless God, you know, type thing. But we can't ignore it either. Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Maybe that knowledge is more to act on us, that if they don't be saved, if they're not rescued, if they're not moving from the place of being lost to being saved, they're going to face the judgment and terror of the Lord. Maybe that's more on us than it would be on them. Whatever, there needs to be that action and following through. Okay, a couple more scriptures. 1 Timothy 4:16. Take heed. There again is that necessity of looking at ourselves. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you got to do it, not just think about it. Doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. And then that begs the question, are they hearing you? Are you speaking it? Are you witnessing and testifying? And again, you've got a lot to share of what the Lord has done for you. Don't think it's growing old. Don't think it's, you know, you got to have something new. Whoever you're talking to has probably not heard it before. So go ahead and tell them, praise God. And but the taking heed to yourself and the doctrine, continue in them. There's a real push. Well, there's always been a push, lay aside doctrine, and it's even stronger today. Don't get so caught up in doctrine. Don't, you know, doctrine is divisive and on like that. We can't let go of truth. We can't let go of teaching. We've got to share it, and thank God we can become skillful in letting people know what the word of the Lord says. Another verse, but I'll just read it in NIV. It's the same one, but in the NIV. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Amen. And so, that witness talk, together with your witness walk, is going to be effective. Amen. Because they're always trying to find where you're messing up. They're always trying to find where you're not measuring up, and so on. And we're not perfect. But this powerful truth is something that we can share. Praise God. And staying in the church, staying in the truth, loving the doctrine, loving the truth. You know, you look at 2 Timothy 2 or 2 Thessalonians 2 rather, and talks about the Antichrist and so on, and how that loving the truth is a component of salvation, and how important to continue in that walk and to know the blessing of the Lord, because there's going to be an attack on truth in the end times, and we're seeing that even now. And it's coming from philosophy of the world, coming from those who are agnostic or atheists and wanting to come against what we stand for, and then even those who are so-called Christians and churches that claim Christianity, wanting to water it down. We're not going to. There's a singing group that wrote a good song. I can't remember what it is now, but it's a good song, and it mentions the blood, and a major denomination wanted to use that song, but they wanted the blood taken out. And the songwriter said, no, we can't. It was a lucrative offer, you know, in terms of royalties and so on that would come to them. But no, we're not going to take the blood out. The blood is important to our salvation. So it's happening all around. But we're going to stay with truth. We're going to stay with the church. We're going to stay with what the Word of God teaches us. Amen. Old choruses. An old chorus came to mind. And you may be able to identify it. It just says the same thing over and over. The reason I'm in this church is I don't want to be lost. And it's kind of upbeat, and it just says it over and over again. The reason I'm in this church is I don't want to be lost. Now, I'm not talking about SBC in particular, even though I believe this church preaches truth, stands for truth, not going to compromise truth. Praise God. We're going to hold on. But I'm talking about the church in Ephesians 5. I'm talking about the church that Jesus bled and died for. Amen. And that's the reason I'm in this church, is I don't want to be lost. Amen. And I'm not going to gamble with it. I'm not going to take a chance on it. I'm not going to compromise it in hopes that it turns out okay. You know, sometimes we do that. I had people tell me one time, well, we've already made up our minds. Just pray that it works out. Well, that's not the way it works as far as, you know, decisions that you're going to stay in truth and walk with God. No, I've got to be able to hold on and be the example that the Lord wants me to be. Praise God. And I may not have an axe head that I can hold up and say, you know what? This floated. Can you believe that? Like that young man probably had opportunity to again and again. When he returned it to the owner, what a story he had to tell. Praise God. You've got stories to tell. You've got experiences to share. You've got truth to make known. Praise God. And the Lord will work with you. And as long as you're staying in the Word, He'll work with you, confirming that Word with signs following. Praise God. I'm glad Mark 16:20 is there. Otherwise, we'd be in a world of hurt trying to get it done but in our own ability and capacity and resources. It would fall far short. But oh my, the supernatural is there. The divine is there. The power of God is there. And we're going to keep working. Praise God. Because that's what it takes, isn't it? It's work. It took work for you to get here tonight. Amen. And we're going to stand and we're not going to sing the chorus. The reason I'm in this church is I don't want to be lost. But we're sure going to let the devil know. Amen. We're going to let the world know. And we're going to hold on, praise God. We're not going to lose out. We're not going to fall short. We're going to hold on, praise God. Let's just claim it in the Lord right now and call upon His name.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, Lord God, I thank You for calling us out of darkness and into Your marvelous light. Let that marvelous light continue to shine, God, for our benefit. To be able to hold us strong and true, to stay steady and solid, to walk on with You, Lord God, and to make sure our hearts are right, our lives are living in the manner that You would have us to be, so that we can please You, oh God, walking with You, serving You, hallelujah, obeying Your word. God, use us as a witness, Lord. Use us as a testimony, Lord. Help us, oh God, not to be fearful. But let there be a boldness, O God, to proclaim Your word, a boldness, Lord God, to testify and exalt Your name. Help us, Lord God, I pray, in this hour. Lord, we know there are so many things against truth, so many aspects, Lord, of evil that are rising up in even greater ways. But, Lord, when the enemy comes in like a flood, You raise up a standard, Lord. Hallelujah. Do that work for Your people, God. Oh, Lord, show Your power and Your might. Manifest Your strength and Your glory. Fulfill Your word again and again, Lord, even as You have so many times. Bless, Lord, in Your power. Bless, Lord, in Your might. We thank You and glorify You now. We praise and worship Your holy name. Thank You, Lord God. Thank You, Lord God. Oh, in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Bless Your people, Lord. Again and again, hallelujah. Let the joyful sound be in our hearts and in our minds. Help us to be overcomers, O God, according to Your power and Your might. O Lord God, we claim Your word that greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Help us to be overcomers, O God. Help us to step forth on the promises of God. Help us to believe Your every word, Your every promise. And claim each one of them, O God, to do a work for Your name. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. I praise and worship You. I praise and glorify You. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, we praise You, we worship You, we glorify You. In Jesus' great name, in Jesus' great name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Amen, amen, amen. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. And I think reminding yourself, reminding the devil, amen, the reason I'm in this church is I don't want to be lost. Praise God. And assurance and that commitment, I think, is what we need to carry on into the situations that we face in this day and hour, amen, and doing the work of God for His name. Praise God. Amen. So we're going to be faithful. Amen. We're going to do the work of the Lord, and we're going to seek and save the lost, even as He said. He said, I send you. Even as the Father has sent me, so send I you. You ever consider that? In what dimension? What power? To what extent? To what extreme? Wow. That's pretty incredible to consider that. And then what falls upon us as far as faithfulness, as far as willingness, and being able to step forward in that. Praise God. Let's find out. Let's find out all the more of what he desires to do for us. Amen. All right, I'll put the plate out here. And if you have an offering, go ahead and feel free to bring it forward. And the Lord bless you. Appreciate you and love you in Jesus' name.